Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today, not even at my computer. Today is June the 25th, 2014. It's Wednesday. It's what used to be called Unstuck Wednesday. It's now Possibility Wednesday. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you, dear hearts. Broadcasting today from Heartland. We're back in the Ozarks, or at least I am. Jeannie is going to be at the family reunion in Bristol, Tennessee, or actually up in Virginia on the July 4th weekend before she heads back to Heartland. But here now, and things are heating up. We've got an awesome crew here getting things done. It's actually a little bit on the chilly side here today and raining. I don't know if you can hear the rain in the background, but it's pouring down pretty good. And crew is getting the kitchen opened up and ready to rock and roll. Everything's just moving forward. We had a support group meeting last night looking at the dynamic of first century Aramaic forgiveness with the crew here. We thank Jim Farmer for coming and joining us. And Mick, we're just delighted that you're here. And Judy and Julie, and, you know, it's just it's awesome to watch how it's coming together. We just have a really, really sweet energy with the crew this year, which is nice. There are many dynamics that show up every year as new people approach and come and get ready to tap into the next level of doing their work. And if you're ready to move your process to the next level, perhaps you're out there kind of in your own space, wondering why you're still feeling some of the same old things and maybe why some things aren't breaking through and why you're inhibiting yourself, not allowing yourself to step out into the normal world or do things. And if any of that's going on for you, then you might want to consider actually stepping into a commitment to take your work to the next level. Our intensive season actually starts on the 7th. We'll start out with a 10-day food fund forgiveness and work program. It's kind of an economy program for people who want to come to Heartland, and we do work projects on the property, and then in the evenings do workshops. Ari's got some awesome new recipes that he's been telling me about, kind of mouth-watering, and so I'm actually going to meet Ari on Saturday in Branson, and we're going to go do some shopping and fill the larder with all kinds of neat stuff and unusual food products. We're going to be doing some different things. We'll do both cooked and fresh and raw for the first segment of our season here, which is the Food Fund Forgiveness. And then once we start into the actual intensives, we'll go to a total fresh and raw learning program where you'll get to put your hands on the food, learn the dynamics of how to put together just some of the most awesome meals. It's fun to watch people who come to Heartland for the first time, especially people who are dyed-in-the-wool meat eaters, and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to eat nothing but vegetables for 9 days, for 16 days, I'm going to go for that whole 54 days, and I'm going to eat nothing but vegetables. I just can't imagine doing that. And then when they start eating the food, the tune changes. I mean, really seriously, the dyed-in-the-wool mediators, we often hear from them, you know. I couldn't imagine that it'd be so full and so satisfied with vegetarian food. And if I could eat like this at home, man, I'd never touch an animal again. And so part of the process of the intensive is getting your hands on the food and learning how to make some of those sauces, how to put things together. And Ari is just an encyclopedia of information. And the Food Fund Forgiveness Award Project starts, we should have in hand, finally, the new recipes book. It is in the printer's hands, and we've talked with them about getting it to us. So those who've been waiting for much too long for that book, it's up to 260 pages. I think you'll be happy you waited because we've expanded it exponentially. It's huge now. And we've put just all kinds of really powerful information in it, besides just recipes. So there's a whole compendium of information in it now. So for those who've been so patient and waited for so long for the book, I think you're going to be delighted, and we'll be sending those out as soon as we get them from the printer, which hopefully will be within the next week or 10 days. We also have coming at about the same time the new version of Julie's book on healing children, loving children, and so that's going to be available shortly in its new version. There have been some edits. Julie shared a few of those with you, and I think we've got some orders for those, so they'll be shipping out at the same time as we get them in our hands, the Enlightenment books. So we're delighted to have those projects behind us. You know, Jeannie and I have, Jeannie, what would you estimate, 4, 5, 6 full-time jobs, just balancing and keeping everything moving from in order to keep this project moving forward. So the books have been on the shelf for too long, and finally they are off the shelf and they're in the printer's hands. And my next project is to complete the edit of the new version of Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So that's underway, and things are just moving forward. And again, appreciation to the crew that's here and everything that's getting done to make ourselves ready for intensive season. If you're ready to boost and go to the next level, people here who've been doing their work for decades will be holding the space and assisting and mentoring and moving things forward. So we're delighted that you're here to join with us in this process, whether it's through the radio show, whether it's just your own private work, whether you're part of a support group, whether you come to an intensive. However it is that you're doing your work, we're here delighted to be support for you. And we hold the space that every issue that you see in your mind, and of course, how do you tell? I love the little test that we've developed for determining whether or not a reality you're experiencing is yours or not. And that is, are you experiencing it? And to recognize that the output of our mind always, and I really invite everybody, and I'm putting this invitation out to myself too, is that our minds tend to be patterned in certain ways. And the ways that we're patterned show us realities in a certain way. And the realities show up in our minds always, not sometimes, not part of the time, always tell us first and foremost about the contents of our own mind. If we're in criticism of someone else, you know, we often will have people who show up at Heartland and they're here for 2 days and they know how to run a center better in 2 days than we've learned in 25 years. We have people who pick up the tools who will tell us about how we could fix it and do it better. And of course, when somebody keeps telling us about how we could do it better, I invite them to come on board and help us to do it better. And those who just want to complain, sit back and say, no, I'm not interested in doing that. I just want to be able to complain. And, of course, what we know from that is that the power person dynamic of the person who does that was that of a complainer. And so, especially when stress will play out the same dynamic as our power person played out, the thing we dislike the most that they did to us, we'll tend to do to someone else. And that's, again, if it's coming up in your mind, to break it down, you get to throw it away. You get to get free of that dynamic, of that burden, of that load. And so we're here to free everyone. We're here to learn to free ourselves and to free everyone, especially those who know how to do it better than we do, of the critical dynamic that perhaps runs the mind, and to support the return to the active presence of love. Hold the newborn child. You know what human life is. We're here to support the return to the active presence of love 24/7, 365. It's going to be a pretty awesome game when 7.5 billion people wake up in the morning and function truly as the presence of love. Heaven only knows, and I say this with a pun intended, heaven only knows what that world's going to look like. And that's what we're here doing the best way we can in supporting that happening, in the restoration. The restoration to the sad mind of a mind based in love. The restoration of an angry mind to a mind based in love. The restoration of a grieving mind to a mind based in love. The restoration of a critical mind to a mind based in love. And that's our work, the return to the truth of who we are. That awesome active presence of love, and I sure appreciate everybody that plays with us and supports bringing this forward into the world by taking action. There are some people who will sit back and talk about it, but by actually taking action. And there's so many projects opening up. You know, we appreciate Brad out in Colorado who's working, and if you're around, Brad, we haven't heard from you for a week or so. We'd love to hear your voice, but who's working with combat vets and taking these tools forward. Rex and Michelle going into the prison and having a warden sit on a class on punishment and deal with his issues. I mean, it's just so awesome to watch how many people, as opposed to just talking about it, actually are taking action. You know, watching Dr. Tim and, you know, the way he stepped out into the Unity community and doing Sunday services and working with so many people throughout the community and the support, Dr. Tim, that you are, the action you take in supporting us in bringing this work forward into the world. If you're there listening, I hope you are. Is just so deeply appreciated, and everyone who participates in that. So, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is, and he's on.
Well, let's say hello to the young man. We're delighted that you're here, sir. How do you be?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. Really, really enjoying particularly this year, the sweetness of the support team that's here. It's awesome.
That's great. Great to hear.
It is. It is. There's a gentleman who actually was he's done a bunch of different things, but his latest job was that of driving a delivery vehicle for an organic food processor in Florida. And he's doing wheatgrass and live food and decided to come and be a part of the support team for a couple of months. And so Mick is here and just he's got so many skills and just willingly stepping in and helping to get so many different things done is fabulous. And of course, Julie's been here, with Julie holding the space all winter. And I'm hoping we're going to get to see her this afternoon. We haven't really seen her since this, or I haven't since I got back. And Judy is working on just 100 different projects. And the gentleman named Jim Farmer, I think the last time he was at Heartland was probably about 15 years ago. He had been here several times in a row and moved and kind of lost touch with him. And he's back and he's actually assisting and supporting us in just taking everything to the next level. In fact, if you want to look at something that Jim created the foundation for, and then we've spent a couple of hours editing it, just posted it a few minutes ago on the Why Is This Happening to Me Again Facebook page, a piece about, you know, coming and joining us for an intensive. So if you look on Facebook, you can see a little bit about what Jim is doing. And if you jump on our Facebook page, we'd love it if you put a like on it and share it with your friends. Put it on your wall and spread it out there. See, I'm learning about Facebook. I know how now to call it a wall. I'm learning. What do you know? It's good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it
wonderful.
Is. So what's exciting in your world?
Well, all kinds of things. We had our support group last night, and I wasn't on the show yesterday because I was having lunch with Mark Hattis, and he and I had connected after a new energy breath session technique I had engaged in the morning that's right down by his house. So we met for lunch, and we're discussing things, and he asked me a question, which led to a realization that was brand new in my life from an incident that happened 55 years ago. And then I did a worksheet in the group last night, and then this morning I'm feeling more of the results of it. He asked me about how do you know when there's a set of issues that you as a therapist personally shouldn't deal with? And I said, well, I learn because I try. And if I try to deal with a certain population or a certain problem and I get triggered and the tools I have for releasing that don't work, then after two or three tries I say, you know what, I should refer this to somebody else rather than trying to help this person because I have too many issues around this type of person or type of problem. And he said, well, what's an example? And I said, well, when I was in grad school, I realized that anytime the kids in the psychiatric hospital would be carving initials in their body or on their stomach for their boyfriend or gang signs or demonic signs or whatever, that would trigger rage in me. And I realized after a short period of time, I shouldn't deal with those people. I should let the other psychologists and therapists on the unit deal with them. And ever since then, I have, even though I've, you know, had different periods where I've really liked action movies and things like that, I never watched a situation where anybody had a mutilation to, you know, a finger, a foot, a hand, an arm, or whatever, whether it was a torture scene or whatever. I never watched any of those without feeling nauseous, physically sick, and I would turn my head or get up and walk out of the movie or turn off the television or whatever. And Mark said, so what do you suppose has caused that? And I said, I have nothing, Eb. I have no idea what, and as I was saying, no idea, a memory from when I was no more than 5 years old, probably four, came to my mind.
Right.
And it's a memory that I've had. It's in the family lore. That we've, you know, the story has been told time and time again. And it's a story of where my two-year-old sister had the end of her little finger chopped off.
Mm.
Because we had a Dutch door where the top half swings open or the bottom half or both. And my sister, who is 1 year younger than me, decided that my sister, who was 3 years younger than me, that she would see what would happen if she closed the door on the younger sister's finger. And she did, and the end of her finger came off. And it was laying on the floor, and there was screaming, and there was blood, and there was my mom with four kids, and she handled it and put the fingertip on ice and put ice on my sister's finger. And it all ended up beautifully because today you can't tell because they sewed it back on and my mom kept both pieces on ice and all that good stuff, except that there's a little crease or two in my sister's fingernail where my mom, according to my sister, she squeezed my finger too hard, so I put a crease in the nail. And I had, in all these years, at least 55, maybe 56 years, never made the connection between that incident and the physical sensation of nausea that I would get.
Right.
So that's what I did my worksheet on last night. And I went from the feeling of nausea and the emotion of helplessness and the thought that I should be doing more, there should be, I should be able to fix this, to a feeling of deep sadness and a little less upset, but still sad. And then this morning when I was out exercising, riding my bike, I started thinking about the worksheet from last night and something Mark had said at lunch yesterday. He said, you know, I imagine you've got a lot of anger at the sister that closed the door on the other sister's finger. And I said, oh, no. Yeah, I have no conscious awareness of being angry at her. She was just a little kid, et cetera. And yet when I was riding my bike today, I remembered, and I remembered this last night when I was doing the processing of the worksheet, that when my mother would tell that story, she would say, so I had all of these factors I had to deal with. My husband was away in the Navy. I had these four kids. I had the one without a fingertip. I had the one. And then I had these two boys trying to beat up on their sister who had taken the finger off. Now, I've heard that story over and over. But yesterday at lunch, when Mark said, I imagine you have a lot of anger at the sister who did this, I said, oh, no, I have no memory of being angry. And when I recalled that this morning on the bike ride, the nausea came back. So that was some of the processing that's been going on. And the support group was lovely last night. We listened to the hour-long presentation of Yayam on the Beatitudes as a series of yoga-type practices for restoring the breath and focusing inside yourself whenever something outside yourself seems to have been the cause of your upset. And so it was, we had a brand new person at the group who had somehow heard about you through the Unity Church literature, hadn't even been to the Unity Church yet, and went to Amazon and bought your book and read it before coming to the group.
Cool.
So that was very nice, and a lot of good questions and processing, and we're just moving right along and looking forward to your coming up here September 21st for a whole week of workshops again.
So are we. Very definitely looking forward to it. And, you know, as you share that story of what you got in touch with, and first of all, what a gift for Mark to be able to just be the catalyst to ask you those questions that allowed that to open. And oftentimes people go into resentment or resistance to things like that opening from within themselves and have no idea how those things impact their lives. And the thing you trigger as you share it is the appreciation for the understanding from the Aramaic of one simple little nuance in the language, and that is that there is, and I'm sharing this for those who are new to the show or somebody who hasn't heard this idea yet, but in the Aramaic, there was a suffix that you would add to a word, and the suffix was O-O-T-A. And when you added that to a word, that suffix meant that whatever that word was a dynamic that was unconscious and was affecting perception and behavior. And that's such a beautiful example of something that's unconscious affecting perception and behavior. And whenever we lose contact with that active space of love, then we can rest assured that there are two brain cells involved. There are those dissociated experiences that if we can just bring them forward and process them, then we open a whole other level of capability. So that's really powerful to have that gift, and of course to have the awareness to be able to receive that gift from Mark rather than go into resistance, and then just to share that. That's just amazing. I appreciate that input. That's fabulous.
Well, and it was a real blessing to have the brand new person there. Because when there's somebody that's brand new there, I tend to go through the worksheet more slowly and explain every little bit, including the part where it says, I'm willing to go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. And I explained, you know, the physical, any negative sensation and fatigue, and the emotional, any negative emotion plus depression, and the intellectual, the mental, any negative thought plus confusion, and explaining that to him. And a little bit, there was a question and a little bit more about that. And that I thought about it again this morning when I was riding my bike and literally started to feel the nausea come up and felt like, okay, maybe I need to stop riding and just walk, or maybe need to throw up. And I just said, well, no, this is just part of that energy moving. This is the same energy that I would get in a movie theater or on a TV if I was at home watching a DVD, and I stumbled across a scene that I didn't know was coming where someone was going to get, you know, a body part mutilated or whatever. And I just kept riding and breathing and visualizing the tapping that I know how to do, and moved right through it. It lasted a good while, though.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's major stuff for a little kid watching that. And to just have the awareness and to share with everybody in our listening audience that we can embrace those kinds of experiences that seem, you know, for a child of 3 or 4, and you know, another one you pointed out was, I should have been able to do something. And that is such a huge dynamic when people, along with that, you know, I should have been able to do something, that oftentimes it's my fault because I didn't fix it. And, of course, being my fault and I didn't fix it, I'm a failure. And, you know, in that circumstance, with that stimulus, it's hopeless. There's nothing I can do, and I'm helpless. And there are dynamics that tend to develop as small children that impact their whole lives from that unconscious level, those UTA brain cells, and to be able to be safe enough to embrace those things that, you know, seemed so terrible to the small child, to adult, is something that, you know, we would bring it forward into that frontal part of the brain, that we can process and deal with those things rather than be lost and stuck in a child's perception and a child's pain, and the impact that it has on relationships when someone resonates those files. You know, we've talked before in terms of relationship about the three killer words for relationships, and the way to destroy a relationship as quickly as it can possibly happen is, all you have to do is say to somebody, you made me. And it tends to resonate that small child's experiences of trying to fix something that, you know, perhaps wasn't fixable, or certainly a 3-year-old couldn't have fixed it. But the 3-year-old, not realizing it wasn't fixable, not realizing that, you know, it wasn't their job or within their skill set to fix it, that doesn't stop the child from making up that hopeless, helpless, fault and failure game that so many people experience. And when somebody brings that up for them by saying, you made me, the inability to allow the embrace of those childhood dynamics leads to the destruction of so many relationships. So building the brain cells for, oh, I can embrace that, I can hold that, I can bring that forward, is just awesome. Muchas gracias. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes,
pretty cool.
Yes. Well, thank you for helping bring the tools to a place where I can.
And if Mark happens to be with us, thank you for being on the team. Mark and I have been playing some telephone tag recently. We need to get in touch. Fabulous. Well, anything else to share from the support group, or any patterns that you're seeing in practice today?
Well, the pattern so far in this morning's sessions has been the kind of a duplicate of last night's group, is the power of the unconscious. And there were two people who did energy work and worksheets around things that happened when they were, one was 5 and one was 7 years old, that's still driving their lives today. And the last one was someone feeling that they were damaged goods because their father had left at that age. And so now, anytime there's any kind of a difficulty in a relationship, this person assumes it's this person's problem because, of course, everybody lies to them and they're damaged. And that was a rather powerful realization for her to see the very strong parallel between events that are going on in her life today and things that happened when she was 7 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? The dynamics that develop between parents and children. It's just that power person thing in the codependence workshop is such a mind-boggling dynamic when you really get a hold of it.
Yeah, and the key for me is always, and I keep trying to just support people in stepping into it, is the willingness, just the willingness to go remember, to step into it, to feel it, to break the pattern of shutting down and just breathe into it and feel it and know it's going to be all right.
And to be aware of, I think, the way the power person dynamics impact us in terms of our own behavior. I remember one event where it was a woman who was complimenting a particular person, but in the complimenting of that person was the put down of, you're not doing it right. And the invitation to look at, well, I notice you're under stress and you're delivering this message that somebody else isn't doing it right. How did it look like the behavior of your power person to be an expert at the backhanded compliment? They're telling you how wonderful you are and how great an impact you're having and how wonderfully it's going. But, you know, you're really not doing it right. If you could just follow my instructions, then you'd be doing it right. And to look at how it's just a replication of what the power person did in just about every circumstance, just replicating that power person dynamic. And when we can get a hold of that, then that's just one more set of those OODA brain cells that can be dissolved, removed, and the impact of it and the way it interferes with relationship can just be disappeared from our lives. And it's just so empowering to me to be able to get a hold of those things and to clean them up and to just be continuously looking at, you know, for myself, just in terms of my own personal process of, you know, how does my mind respond in a situation where I'm in stress? How does that look like the power person dynamic in my life? And what do I need to forgive in order to change that one? And it just opens such huge spaces for healing. It's amazing. So let's check in with Jeannie and see if there's anything happening in the chat room, anything we should be aware of, and or if there's anybody in the phone queue with a hand up. Our calling number, of course, is 646-200-4169. And Jeannie, what's happening?
We actually have four callers, yes. So
awesome.
First one is area code 910. You're on the air.
910, welcome to the show. You're on. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? Hello, 910. You are on the air. Come and play. Oh, maybe they've turned away from the phone. Let's check back in with them in a minute and go on to one of the other callers, please.
So the next one is 970, and you're on the air. Who do we have?
Oh, Michael, Jeannie, Dr. Tim, this is Brad in Colorado.
Well, hey there, good sir. I'm glad to hear your voice. We haven't heard from you in a bit. How's it going?
Yeah, been busy. Kind of hard to get through sometimes. You're getting more callers nowadays. And I try to listen to all the shows I can. I'm a little behind right now because of, you know, the work I've been doing with others. And it's progressing very slowly. You know, the support group that I actually started, the last two meetings, I've had no shows, but I have had one of the vets. He's not a combat vet, but he's also a psychiatrist here in the area that works a lot with vets with PTSD and other issues.
Right.
And we've had some interesting conversations that has, you know, helped me, and I'm trying to open up to him a little more. I've been getting quite a bit. I also attend a combat vets meeting that we have every other Tuesday, and we had one yesterday. It was perhaps the best one I've been to yet because generally the man that puts that is sponsored by the VA and is employed by the VA, and I've had a little I've been a little bit disappointed with him because he doesn't get the ball rolling, so to say, you know. So I've had to initiate getting people talking about why we're there. I just dove into it yesterday, and it was a very good conversation. A lot of guys opened up. That's also given me the stress I need to look at things and see the commonality between, you know, combat vets and what we have in common. That is that we're using excuses and denials and fear and to cover up a lot of things and a lot of issues in our life. And, how that goes clear back into power person dynamics, our time in the service. And I thank Dr. Tim for bringing a wonderful topic about, you know, how you can suppress a lot of those things, you know, with or even around mutilation and stuff, you know, the blood and the gore. And how some of us have more problems, you know, dealing with that than others. And from my perspective, you know, having been a combat vet and seeing a lot of blood and a lot of gore, and even being the person that created a lot of that, it brings up a lot for me. It brings up a lot, you know, with these other combat vets that you realize your life from that moment that you squeezed the trigger and took another human life had just changed forever. You didn't know how it was going to play out, but you realize, you know, after over 40 years of this, the impact it has on you. And
you know,
try to work through that, struggle with it often, you know, letting go of my attachment to those things and being in denial, not expressing my feelings, locking this stuff down. That goes clear back into my power person dynamics with my parents. You know, it affects me now, even in my relationship with my wife, about being separate, of having a feeling that you don't really belong, that you're not deserving, and, having the shame, having the guilt, having the feelings that you're just not here all the time and you can't actively engage. And even the research I've done over the years about combat vets, you know, not being particularly good fathers and not being able to sustain relationships and so forth, you know, I see that working with these guys. I've known some about it for years, even myself. I avoided marriage for 59 years of my life, Michael, and because I never thought I could handle it. I never thought, I elected not to have children at a very young age and commenced to have the surgery not to have children. And, it boils back into a lot of it that I'm realizing now is I never really learned how to love.
Mm-hmm.
I never really learned how to appreciate what I have right before me. I don't know how to bond in a loving, caring, compassionate, and empathetic way at times.
Sounds like you're getting there, though.
Well,
it sounds like you're getting
to.
There, and it sounds like you really attracted a woman who was willing to support you and hold the space to move through those things to get there. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but it makes it really hard and sad knowing that I am the one that's creating the problem. And I'm not really choosing to do different. You know, I don't understand what the, you know, I know what to do, but I'm not doing it.
Well, here's it's my like take. You're dealing with, when you compare what you've been through with the trauma that Tim talked about, you're not going to change that overnight. My offering to you is you are doing it. Are you doing it perfectly every time yet? No. But when I listen to your conversations, when I listen to what you're doing, you know, it sounds like you are being extremely successful at doing it and not perfect yet. And there might it might be a good topic to do a few worksheets around, I have to be perfect in order to approve of myself. And to recognize that you can hold a space of love and a Brad even when Brad isn't doing it perfectly. That you deserve to function as the presence of love for no other reason than the Creator saw fit to put the breath of life in you. You deserve it because of that fact alone. And I apologize heartily for our culture. I'll stand in the place of the culture for a moment. I apologize heartily for what we as a culture have put you through in forcing you. It was an insane act on the part of the culture. And I appreciate the fact that you're choosing to be a force in your immediate community and in your world that is changing that insane dynamic within yourself and within the people around you. That's powerful, to step out from the shell that you were in to where we're having this conversation. To me, is awesome movement. Are you well, Brad? Let me let you in on a secret. Actually, Jeannie could probably tell you better than I. I'm not perfect yet either. Jeannie's not perfect yet. Dr. Tim isn't. None of us is. In fact, if you go back to Yeshua, you know, those who want to proclaim Yeshua was the perfect one. But when they said to him, they said that to him, he said, why do you call me perfect? Only one is perfect, and that one isn't human. So I acknowledge you for the way you're stepping outside of that shell of pain and dissolving it. And fortunately, I personally haven't become involved in being forced into doing what you were forced to do. And so I can't really fathom, I mean, I've worked with a number of vets, and some of the stories I've heard would curl my hair. And I'm sure some of the stories that you could tell could curl everybody's hair. And you're stepping out past that one piece at a time. And that, to me, is absolutely an awesome gift to give to vets, the world, because that shell needs to be broken. And I acknowledge you for doing it in the small and the major ways that you're doing it, even with the imperfections of it. I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate everybody's support. And
you've got it.
That means a lot when you get the support of others, you know, in a collective consciousness that way. And you know, I just keep trying. I have nothing else to choose from except to keep trying and not accept failure or defeat. And, you know, it's not always easy. And this stuff coming back out, just as you often put it, man, does it hurt coming back out? It's not pleasant. It's sometimes just pretty much floors me at times, you know, with the feelings of going through a whole gamut of emotions, you know, I mean, of depression and anxiety and fear and anger and hostility and, you know, but I exposed myself to this. When you first talked about watching movies to expose yourself to this, to try to bring up these things and properly deal with them, I didn't quite understand that. Now I do. I'm thankful for you bringing that up, because it's a process in which you have to allow yourself to dig down into those deeper layers of what you've suppressed and denied for so long. And, it definitely does not feel good. I get very confused
for sure.
At times. I don't know sometimes where to turn or who to turn to.
Remember that confusion is one of the symptoms of healing. Confusion is a necessary step in moving through the healing process. So it's right on track to have that confusion, because you've got this new level of understanding, these new tools, this new awakening of being, and that conflicts with everything out of the past based in violence. So when those two energies meet in your mind, there's going to be confusion. The difference is that you know how to breathe, to breathe, and you've got the tools of forgiveness to work through that confusion. And again, one of the things I appreciate is that you're stepping out to other combat vets to support them in understanding that those things can be changed. You know, it sounds like the fellow who runs the group, who wasn't so forthcoming, is giving you an awesome gift, and that he's holding back, and maybe he's even doing this purposely, opening the space for you to step forward. Sounds like a nice gift.
Yeah. I appreciate the fact that there's others stepping forward to do the work and helping others to heal and move through these things as well. I mean, it's an awesome experience, and it's much appreciated. And, and I feel blessed to have, a number of these people that are stepping forward in my life now, too, they help facilitate my healing, and they help facilitate others too. And like you said, I get what I need out of this as well. I mean, it's pretty amazing, some of the shifts that I've been going through and what I put my focus on and lately. And, and you say confusion is a sign of healing. Well, I guess I'm healing, because I certainly have one heck of a lot of confusion at times in regards to all this. And that goes clear back into my genetics and, my power person dynamics and all that. It's just incredible, how all this ties in together and what you're choosing to live your life out of at this time in life, and try to get a proper perspective on what's really going on within your own being, and why you're electing or choosing to do the things you do, and why you run from the things that you know you need to do. And it's very interesting. It's got me it's got my attention.
Well, one of the things, Brad, that we introduce in the Laws of Living intensive that we do, and that is that we each have a personal code. And a personal code is our personal set of rules that our mind forces us to follow, put into certain circumstances, or when we find ourselves in certain circumstances. So each of us has that set of rules. And choice be damned, you can choose to do differently. So the proverbial cows come home. But until you reach into that level of personal code where those old choices are stored and change them, when the stress is up and the chips are down, that personal code is going to come up, and it's going to force you to do whatever it is that your mind has been trained to think. And I'm talking now your experiential mind from your own lifetime, as well as your genetics and the community, the family culture that you come from. There's a set of rules in there, and those rules are not easily overcome. Those rules are broken down piece by piece by piece, worksheet by worksheet, tool by tool. And so you can say, okay, I got it. I'm love. I'm going to be loving from now on and forevermore. And that's my choice. But if my personal code says, when somebody gives me the look, I have to go into rage to protect myself, chances of being loving are slim to none. But each time somebody gives me that look and up comes my rage or my fear or my guilt or my grief, and I apply the forgiveness tool, I weaken the root of that old personal code that forces me to do things against my own will and choice. Your personal code is meant to be your servant. You'll remember Yeshua talked about the servants found the master in their own household. That's where most of us live. We are bound by the servant, the mind, to the behaviors that it's been programmed we have to engage in. And it's a tricky beast. And it takes time to, and it's worksheet by worksheet, tool by tool, step by step, to literally go in, access. You know, most people, until we bring this topic up, never even conceived of it. The fact that they have a personal set of rules, that they have a personal code, is just, well, this is just what I do. Like, well, actually, it's a well-set, a well-patterned set of rules that your mind follows. As you begin to exercise choice over your own mind, that's when you can dissolve that old personal code. But, you know, our personal codes have been in development for centuries, generations and generations and generations. And they don't change overnight. It's a process. It takes time. And you're right on track with doing it. If you call the show, if I think back to your first call or two, and then you call the show and said, yeah, well, every time the stress is up and the chips are down, now I just choose love, and that's how I function, I'd be saying, Brad, can I come out and study with you for a while? Because I need to get that. And as you choose to approve of and love yourself through the process when you quote-unquote fail in your own mind, be careful that you refrain or undo the tendency to follow the power person dynamic of condemning you when you're not perfect and choose to be the space of love for you when you're not perfect, and that'll move things, just accelerate the process immeasurably.
Well, thank you. I think I need to be paying more attention to that. Cindy and I have watched The Laws of Living, you know, a couple times, and it's also on my list of DVDs to show to the group if I can, you know, eventually progress that far with them. And, I think that's one area I need to pay particular attention to at this time. So thank you for bringing that up to my attention.
Yeah. It's certainly a process. And, you know, you might ask Dr. Tim when he's had support groups. You know, Tim has been doing the support group now. I think, Tim, you've missed two support groups in 9 years because of severe weather conditions in Chicago. But otherwise, what do you do if nobody shows up to a support group?
I watch a video and I do a worksheet or two and hold the space for at least an hour and a half. It's normally we have a 2.5 hour block of time set out, so I keep the space open for at least an hour and a half. Watch an hour of the video that we would normally watch and then do a worksheet or two if time allows, and then occasionally there'll be a straggler that will come in and we'll have a group that's only me and one other person or one or two other people. And then I get the benefit whether anybody shows up or not.
Yeah, I've been trying to follow that. I try to follow that advice, Dr. Tim. That's what I do. If there are no shows and I'm just there where I found myself there the last couple of times, and then eventually, you know, maybe somebody will walk in. And the last couple of group meetings, you know, it was, you know, the fellow that is a practicing psychiatrist here, and we've had some very interesting conversations, you know, so it was very valuable and time well spent, and you know, until he walked in, I would sit there and I'd perhaps watch one of the videos, and I would do a worksheet or two just to keep my mind focused on, you know, why I'm there. It's not, it's, you know, it's keeping that alive and well, I guess I would have to say. You know, it's not letting disappointment because nobody showed enter into my mind and just saying I'm all, you know, I can also do what I need to be doing for myself at that time as well, and it's time well spent.
Well, and what you said just brought to mind that we had somebody join the group a year or so ago, and after her second session, she came in with a question of, how do you get other people that you know need to do these worksheets to do these worksheets? And just like Dr. Rice is laughing now, the ripple of laughter went around the room. And she happened to be sitting right next to me. And I said something like, if you're trying to get somebody else to do the worksheets, then you're off the mark. And she whipped her head around and pointed a question right at me and said, well, then why do you do these groups? And you're trying to get us to do these worksheets. And I just started laughing and said, nope, I'm here even if nobody shows up. I'm here because I need to learn what's in these videos and how to do these worksheets. And the laughter went around the room even more. So
it makes me laugh.
All an inside job. It's all an inside job.
Well, I'll move on. I don't know if you can get anybody else in. We're running short here. So thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate your support. And I'll keep putting myself out there.
Delighted. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thanks,
thank
Brad.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Dr. Tim, anything to add? We're down to about 2 minutes.
Well, just that, you know, I didn't want to interrupt when you were doing it, but I'll just take this time to congratulate Brad and people like him who are doing the work, and just add my voice to yours to say it is a success just to be trying, one tool after another and consistently apply it, even if the results aren't perfect in my life yet. One of my favorite combination quotes is, you never really lose until you quit. So when you lose, don't lose the lesson, because every loss, every, quote, failure, unquote, every misp, every mistake carries with it an important life lesson. But I can only have the lesson if I own the mistake. So when I lose, don't lose the lesson, because I never truly lose until I quit.
Yay. Cool. Well, I join you in gathering every lesson that each of us can join in this process of learning and teaching this first century Aramaic forgiveness, what a gift it is, and my appreciation to the source of it, Yeshua, who put it together, and my appreciation for the fact that I have had the opportunity to engage in those first century words. So hold a blessing and look forward to the next time we see you face to face. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.